Jesus is like no other. Is there any other name that is above every name other than the name of Jesus? No, there is power in the name of Jesus. Do you know that? There really is power in the name of Jesus. Why do you think the world can't stop using the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. They try to defile his name. They use it in a derogatory manner, but the name of Jesus is on everyone's lips. People cannot not name the name of God. Hallelujah. They don't go, oh, Buddha, right? Hallelujah. You ever hear anybody say that? You ever hear anybody, oh, Muhammad? You don't hear anybody say that, right? It's because the name of Jesus has all power and glory in the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the word of God says. And the righteous, we run into it, not away from it. We run into it and we are safe. Hallelujah. That's what the word of God says. And it's exciting serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it is challenging. It is difficult at times as well. But there is nothing greater than serving the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we have been talking about the expanse and all that God has created and how we are a part of God's creation. Once Christ comes into your life, you begin to expand. That's the nature of God. The nature of God is to bring increase, to cause growth. There is nothing that God did not create that does not have life in it. Everything God creates has life in it. And it's not just life, but he has given us life-giving life. Hallelujah. Think about that. The things that God creates, not only do they have life, but they can create life. They can perpetuate, and they continue to grow and manifest. And that's the nature of God. And when we receive God, when we're born of the Spirit of God, when Christ comes into our life, God begins to expand himself. And that's why it's so important to be a growing Christian. And it's not something you can do on your own. A growing Christian is a Christian that literally has Christ working within them, and he's expanding himself. And we become more and more like him. And that's why the enemy tries to fight us. He tries to keep us from growing, keep us from expanding. And so from the very beginning, God, he created life. And there is nothing greater than that. And this year, we're looking at God doing a new thing in our lives. God giving us a brand new start. And he is already underway, working at making us new, causing us to be the people that he's called us to be so that we could be effective at representing the kingdom of God. Are you growing? Are you expanding? Hallelujah. Not this month, right? Hallelujah. This month, we must decrease so that he can increase. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so God is working his ways in our lives. And so today, I would like to introduce an idea that God is working in the midst of our lives and how he works in our lives. And I'm asking the question, what keeps a yo-yo from flying away? What keeps the yo-yo from flying away? The string, right? The string. That's an easy answer, isn't it? Yeah, switch them on. Click, right? And the string. It's the string that keeps a yo-yo from flying away. And I know it's been a long time since, people have played with yo-yos, right? I mean, not a lot of people even remember yo-yos. And they were the rave back in the day, right? I mean, it was like you couldn't go to any school without almost, like people have cell phones now, people used to have yo-yos. And it was just a thing. And people would always be trying to outdo each other with tricks and learning new things. And it was an exciting thing. But it's the string that keeps the yo-yo from flying away. And that string is the thing that is key to your life and mine. God establishes himself. He's holding on to us. He's holding on to us. And as we apply the word of God in our lives, the string remains attached and we're able to operate and do all kinds of creative and amazing things, operating in the parameters of God. And God is able to keep us from flying off the handle, from just going off in some random way, doing some crazy thing. And we see this in every aspect of God's work in the universe, because God brings chaos into order. He keeps things where they belong. He allows everything to function and operate the way it was designed and intended to function and operate. It's not until things get perverted that chaos begins to spiral back into people's lives. And so, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask God that you would continue to hold on to us. Lord, your word says, all that the Father has given me, I have lost none. Lord, you have us, Lord, by a string. Lord, the string of your word, the string of your spirit, all those things that you have wound together in order to keep us and to sustain us. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to manifest yourself in our lives. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that we may grow and expand in the ways of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there is nothing more exciting than being in a place where you can just have fun, right? Have you ever played with a yo-yo? Anybody here ever played with a yo-yo? There's nothing greater than a yo-yo. I happen to have a yo-yo here. And, I was so happy when we got this yo-yo because this company was still around, because this is a Dunkin' yo-yo. Oh, and all the old people said, yes, my people, oh, yes, hallelujah, the yo-yo. And on this one, glory, yes, hallelujah. You ever play with one of these things? Who wants to try one? You want to play? Come on, let me give somebody a chance. Who wants to come up? Come on, somebody yo-yo. Oh, Grandpa Rob. All right, Grandpa Rob is coming. Here you go. I got one just for you, Grandpa. Come on. Here, let's see what you got, Grandpa. Let's see what you got. Now, this is the Dunkin' Butterfly yo-yo. Oh, yeah. See, you know about that, right? Oh, the butterfly. Come on, Grandpa. What you got? Woo! Go ahead, Grandpa. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You still got it. Look at that. Oh, come on. A little rusty, but hey, listen. Nothing a little oil can't fix. Walk the dog. Oh, yeah. Remember to walk the dog. I remember to walk the dog. Yes. Go ahead. That's good. That's good stuff. All right. All right, Grandpa. That's good. Over the hill. No, the over the hill is the one that does that. All right. Well, thank you, Grandpa. Grandpa, we got a gift for him. We gave him his own yo-yo. Hallelujah. There you go. Hallelujah. There you go. Yes, the yo-yo is a great. Now, Grandpa's happy. Look at that. He's happy he sat in the front row. He said, let me get up there and get that yo-yo. Woo! Hallelujah. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Well, the yo-yo is a tool that we all have fun with and play with, but it represents a reflection of how God is holding on to us. God is holding on to us. We have the freedom and the liberty to do whatever it is that is on our hearts to do. However, we have boundaries. There are restrictions and there are parameters that are at work in our life to sustain us, to keep us from flying off and from ending up in a wacky place. I remember having my yo-yo. It was so worn. We used it so much that the string would wear, from getting it to sleep and getting it to spin right. And there's always that time when you throw it out there and it goes, right? And it goes flying off and everybody's, you know, trying to get out the way. And so we don't want to live our lives with a broken string. We don't want to live our lives in a way where even as we're trying to do what we need to do, we find ourselves in challenging and difficult situations where we're not able to operate the way God has called us to operate and to function. And so in Job 38, we see this picture, and here God is talking to Job. Really, he's putting Job on the spot because Job and all of his friends had been pontificating about what was going on in Job's life and why all these terrible things happened to him and why everything happened. And they were talking as if they knew. And God says, you don't know what I'm doing. You have no idea. And here in Job 38, it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Now, the whirlwind is a move of the Spirit of God, right? It's a whirling wind. And we know the wind often in Scripture represents the ruah of God here in the Old Testament. And it's a picture of the breath or the move of God's Spirit in the midst. And so God's Spirit shows up and he begins to speak to Job. And God says in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who sets its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? And when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when, bursting forth, it went out from the womb? And when I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling land, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors, and I said, thus far you shall come, but no further. And here your proud waves stop. Here your proud waves stop. God has set a boundary. Even the oceans, he's talking about creation here, right? It's a picture of how everything has its limits. And God is the one who established the mountains, and he established the heavens and the earth. And we've talked about the expanse above and below. And we've talked about how God has, everything has its limits where they're not supposed to go beyond their barriers. God controls that. He controls all of these things. He has set up systems in place in order to maintain boundaries, both spiritual laws as well as natural laws. And natural laws are the things that man focuses on, right? We look at the science behind everything, and as long as the science suits us, we like to hold on to it. But as long as the science, once the science starts to point towards God, then we try to find another way around it. And that's just the way humanity works, because the humanity is operating under a fallen spirit and a divine spirit of darkness that is designed to separate and keep people from God. And this is why the world progressively gets worse until Christ returns. It's because evil is expanding just like God designed all things to do. And so as evil increases, the word of God says grace all the more abounds. Isn't that right? And so God's measure of grace increases according to the measure of evil that we face and that we deal with. And there's always growth and maturity. And God has set boundaries in place so that you and I might be effective at operating in the way God designed us to function and operate. And so verse 12 says, have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? Hallelujah. Do you see that? You see, God is asking him the question, have you ever done this, Job? Have you ever done this? He's saying, I have. I've taken the earth and shaken it to get the wicked out. Hallelujah. Have you ever feel like your life is being shaken? God's trying to get the wicked out. Hallelujah. And a lot of times we face challenges and difficulties and problems, and we say, oh, no. And it's because God is trying to refine us. God is trying to sift us in order to make us finer so that we can be the people he's designed us to be, so that we can operate according to his divine design. And that's why the Word of God gives us the strategies that we need so that we can live effectively and experience the blessings of God. A lot of people want the blessings, but they don't want to operate within the parameters. It's like trying to win a game by cheating. Yeah, you ever play with people who try to win by cheating? Right? Well, that's what the world is trying to do. It's trying to benefit from all of the goodness of God and all the blessings of God without following the rules, without playing by the rules, without operating according to the dynamics that God has put in place in order for us to grow and expand and experience him. There is nothing more awesome than the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Spirit of God. It is the thing that sustains you. It stirs you. It causes you to come alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be like, oh, this old guy got so much energy. I'm like, man. It's just the Spirit of God. It's like you just can't stop. You just can't stop. It's just stirring. That's the anointing of the Spirit of God. And most people will never know it. They will never know it. They might be religious. They might know all the Bible verses. They might know all the songs to sing. They might know all the things. But the anointing of the Holy Ghost belongs to those who operate in right relationship with Christ. And when you're filled with the Spirit, that's what the Word of God says. He says, be filled. Isn't that what Paul says? Be filled with the Spirit. And God will seal you to the day of redemption. And that is a real thing. God says, you don't have to have blind faith. I'm going to show you. Hallelujah. Right? Didn't Moses say, show me your glory, Lord? Oh, yes. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of what's to come. Hallelujah. When you enter into the presence of God, and this is what God is working out in our lives, and he's got the string of the Spirit and the Word that is united together to form the strand of God that holds us. When life gets tough, when challenges come our way, when temptation comes our way, we hold on to these parameters. And God establishes himself in the midst of our life. He sets these parameters so that we can live effectively, so that we can have get the most out of life, so that we can enjoy our lives, so that we can have the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Do you have joy today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And you and I, we have strength because God is with us. And when you know God is with you, sometimes it feels like God's not there, but God is with us. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, you may have it in your heart and your mind to do all kinds of things, but you need to hear from God so that you know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and he will give you a strategy for your life so that you can accomplish the things that he has put on your heart his way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what God is working out in us. And God says, yes, just seek my counsel. Seek my counsel. That's why if you're going to have a brand new start, you must be able to walk with God. You must keep him a part of your life. You must commune with him. We pray. We meditate on the Word of God. We hear his voice and we follow him. We're in a relationship with God. We're in a communion with God. And that's what enables us to overcome. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. You've heard it in King James. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, right? And his delight, he delights in his way. Why does God delight in a man's way? That's the man who's established in the Lord. Once you establish your way in God, God delights in you. Hallelujah. It's like watching your little kids play, right? It's like, oh, look at that. You know, until they go do something they shouldn't do, right? Then you're like, no. Right? You bring up the barrier. Don't do it. Don't touch that. No, leave that alone. Come back here, right? And if they listen, then you go back to, oh, it's delightful. But if they don't listen, all of a sudden it goes, oh, come, let me come out there. Now you shift. Now you got to go into defensive mode. I got to go save them, right? And that's what God does in our lives. And God allows things to happen in our lives because we're on this string. We're on this string. And God says, you're not going to get away with just all this stuff. You can't do just anything. I'm not going to let your life just go buck wild where you go out there and do all the things. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to rein you in. And I'm going to keep you so that you come back to me. Isn't that what a yo-yo does? Right? It comes back to the person who has it. And God says, you're like the yo-yo on the string. I want you to keep coming back to me. Keep coming back to me. Every aspect of your life, you got to come back to me. Oh, if you want to do a new thing, I'm going to let you do your thing, but you're coming back to me. You're going to do whatever you do, and you're going to come right back to me. And I'm never going to let you go because I got you on the string on my finger. You're in my hand, the Lord says. You're in his hands. And so the word of God establishes the fact that the limitations in our life are to establish cohesion so that everything can work together. The oceans only go but so far. And the word of God says it's God who established these barriers. He keeps the ocean from running over, right? We know what happens when tsunamis happen and the waters overflow. Remember, the waters, it began with water. Isn't that right? Right? We heard a couple of sermons on that already. And so he separated the firmament, the upper from the low. Those are the waters. And so the whole earth was water. And the word of God says God raised up the dry land. Hallelujah. He raised up the mountains. He set the boundaries on the water. And the picture really is that the waters moved out of the way so the land can come up. Hallelujah. And the waters moved out of the way so the waters can come up. And so Psalm 104 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great and you are clothed with splendor and majesty. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the winds. Can you picture that? God surfing on the wind. Hallelujah. What? Come on now. He's riding on the clouds. Hallelujah. He's got a chariot. Yeah. Made of clouds. Goodness. Yes. Hallelujah. God is a mighty God. It says he makes the winds his messengers. Right? And you hear you ever heard people say, the little birdie told me? Yeah, no. It wasn't the little birdie. It was the wind of the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, God's word. He came. He sends it to you. He says, flaming fire are his ministers. Woo! Oh, yeah, we know about that. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, right? Oh, Lord. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. Hallelujah. He says he established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever. In other words, the earth itself is set in a specific place in the universe, functioning a specific way so that it would not totter, so that it won't wobble. It's set, and it says forever and ever. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is eternal, and he caused and made everything to last throughout eternity. That's what God does. God wants, he's thinking longevity. Whatever God manufactures, he's thinking you're not going to need to replace this. Hallelujah. And you will never need to replace it. Not like stuff now, right? You buy it, and maybe you get 5 years out of it. Maybe. And then you got to have the repairman come. And the repairman will come, and then maybe you'll get another 5 years out of it. And then after a while, it's just not worth fixing. Isn't that right? And so that's how man's things work. But God's stuff is eternal. God's stuff will last and last everlasting. Hallelujah. You've heard of Everlast batteries? Hallelujah. Yeah, well, they don't last forever. But God does. Hallelujah. And so does the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. They do last longer than everybody else, so the tests say. So well, those are the best batteries to buy. But nonetheless, that's free. You know, God is definitely in the business of establishing himself in us so that we can last forever. Love, joy, peace, patience, right? Kindness, gentleness. All of these represent the fruit or the manifestations of the Spirit of God in a person's life. And this is what sustains us. It's the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is the only one who can cause these things to come alive in us, to expand in us. And that is why we need a relationship with the Spirit of God. Verse 6 says, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters were standing above the mountains. You see that? The waters were standing above the mountains. So God brought them down and set boundaries around so that there could be land, so that land would exist. He says, at your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they hurried away. You see that? Oh, my Lord. The waters moved out of the way. It says they didn't just move. They hurried out of the way so that God could move, so that God could do a work. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place which you established for them. You getting a picture of this? Oh, can you visualize this happening? This is a picture of God creating the earth. It's a picture of how this all came to being. And that's why when you see scientists, they say, oh, the water, there was water levels here, and there's fossil record says this and says that, and it took millions and billions and trillions of years. Yeah, but if you got to factor in the fact that God had the place flooded already, and then he brings down the waters. Hallelujah. And during the flood of Noah's day, what happened? He withdrew the boundary. He pulled back the boundaries, and the waters replenished the earth and went back to the way it was before creation working took place. And the waters just rose up. Isn't that what it says? And the waters rose up. There was no surviving. And then he reestablished the boundaries, and the waters went back into their place. Oh, man, goodness. And so it says that God set a boundary so that they may not pass over, so that they will not return to cover the earth. So God has established boundaries so that the seas and the oceans and the rivers and all these waters that are in the earth will stay in their place, stay in their lane. They will only go but so far. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we stay true to God's ways to keep it will cause the chaos to remain in order. God holds back chaos. When you obey the word of God, it keeps you from chaos. It keeps you from trouble. It keeps you from things flying out of control. It keeps you from having negative experiences and challenges and difficulties that you could have avoided if you had just stayed attached to the string. If you just let the Lord bring you back to himself. Hallelujah. And that is what God is working out. We need to stay true to God's word, to his ways. Apply the principles of God in your life, and your chaotic life will come into order. Hallelujah. That's what happens when you get saved, right? You know, your chaotic life starts to come into order. God starts to draw you to himself. You're out there, and he's bringing you in. Hallelujah. He brings you in. Oh, that is a loving God. And we see this in Luke 8, right, with Jesus. Oh, in verse 22, it says, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. You remember this? And it says that he says to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Notice what Jesus says. We always have to pay attention to what Jesus says, because whatever Jesus says, oh, that's going to happen. Isn't that right? If God says it, that thing is going to happen. And so he says, let us go over to the other side. So he's talking to the disciples here, and here they are. They're getting ready to go over. They're crossing over this lake, and so they launch out. And then it says, as they were sailing along, Jesus fell asleep. Man, that must have been some comfortable ride, right? Now, you don't really see much of anywhere where you see Jesus sleeping, right? Think about this. You don't see Jesus sleeping in the New Testament. So here he is. Here he is in this particular instance. Jesus falls asleep. And it says, as soon as Jesus fell asleep, a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake. And they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And the boat begins to fill with water, right? I want you to picture this. Jesus is asleep. These guys are going to the other side. And then all of a sudden, this fierce wind shows up. And now they've got trouble. Have you ever been out on the ocean with waters that are troubled? You ever been like on a, I mean, we went on a cruise one time and there was a storm, a huge storm. Everybody was sick. Everybody, even the crew was sick. People were laying on the floor like this. I'm not kidding you. People were laying on the floor like that. You would step over people. I mean, the whole boat was sick. We had Shari was a little kid. She was the only one not sick. She was like, and we were like, Shari, come back. Come back. Come back. And we were like, and the boat, it was going up and down and up and down. And everybody, and people were saying, they shut everything down because nobody could work. Nobody could do anything because the seas were so rough. And so here these guys are. They're out here on this lake, and they're worried. They're troubled because of their experience. These guys were professionals. They've been out on the water before. And so now they're troubled. It says, as they were sailing along, Jesus falls asleep and this fierce gale wind descends upon them, and they begin to become swamped. They begin to fill up with water. And I wanted to point out here that the difficulties of life are real. The challenges that we face are real. And you might be good at something or another thing here or there and still face troubles, still face difficulties. Sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes it is your fault, right? But nevertheless, they're real experiences. And it seems like Jesus is asleep. It seems like he's not worried or concerned about you or about your situation, like he's just not a factor. And then the winds of chaos begin to stir in your life. All of a sudden, things start happening. All of a sudden, you got problems and you got issues. Either you made a bad choice or a bad decision, or somebody did something to you or offended you or hurt you and did something that damaged you. And now you've got all this chaos stirring in your life, and it feels like your life is being overwhelmed with evil and darkness and problems and issues, and your life begins to fill with water. Your perspective begins to cause you to sink. This is your reality. You're living in this place where you're just overwhelmed, you're over the top. And that is what the disciples were experiencing. They were feeling the weight of the situation, and they were genuinely afraid. And so, what do? Verse 24 gives us some help. It says, they came to Jesus, and they woke him up. Hallelujah. You love that, don't you? They came to Jesus. Now think about this, because it's easy to push by this. They didn't just call on Jesus. They came to Jesus. And how many people, when they're having hard times, they want to call on God? They all want to say, oh, dear God, oh, God, help me, oh, Lord. But that's not where the deliverance is. The deliverance is when you come to Jesus. There's a difference between calling on Jesus and coming to Jesus. And the disciples, they were all on the same boat. It's not like they were on a big ship and Jesus was somewhere, you know, on the other side. And they couldn't have just went, hey, Jesus. No, Jesus was, the boats aren't that big. There may be the size of this stage, maybe. And so wherever Jesus was, he wasn't that far away, and he sure could have heard him. But they didn't just call on Jesus. They went to him. They came to Jesus. And this is a principle that you and I have to hold on to. It's not just being able to call on God and say, oh, God, help me. No, we have to come to him. Well, that means we're coming back to the Lord. It's the yo-yo coming back into the hands of God. It's being captured into the hands of the Lord where God keeps you safe. And when you come to the Lord, it changes everything. It changes everything. A lot of times we think, well, if we just pray about it. No, we have to come to the Lord. We have to commune with him. We enter into that space, into that place where the Lord is. And we genuinely surrender ourselves and we say, Lord, take me. Lord, help me. Lord, have my way. They said, Master, Master, we are perishing. And here they are crying out to God, crying out to Jesus. So they're calling on him, but they came to him. So there they are. They probably put their hands on Jesus, right? They had to wake him up. They probably were like, Jesus, Jesus, wake up. Hallelujah. And they grabbed onto him. And Jesus, he gets up, it says. And it says he rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and they became calm. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to put them back in their rightful boundaries. I'm restoring the boundaries of the ocean. Everything is going back. And God has the ability to rebuke the wind and the rains in your life. Oh, when it seems like they're overwhelming you, you may have crossed over into their territory, right? Because they were out on a boat. They weren't on dry land where the boundaries naturally are. But they were out on the waters, and the waters began to rise up against them. And as they were out there, Jesus rebuked them. Hallelujah. And he said, peace, be still. Hallelujah. And the waters calmed down. It says they stopped and they became calm. That's what God can do in your life. God can, he can rebuke the wind and the waves, and he can cause things to become calm. It says he said to them, where is your faith? In other words, didn't I say we were going to the other side? Didn't you think that I would say that and then have us drown halfway? He was like, no, if I would have said that, if I didn't think we were going to make it, I would have said, okay, guys, this is our last ride, right? Yeah, we're going to get about halfway, and then the waters are just going to engulf us, and we're going down. We're going down, right? I don't think they would have got on the boat with Jesus after that. So Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And so they had the destination in mind. And when the winds and the storms came up and their boat is filling up with water and they start to sink, you know, that changes your perspective. And it's easy to forget the promises of God. It's easy to forget what the word of the Lord says. And when you forget the word of the Lord, it will cause you to operate in a way of defeat, and you will find yourself sinking, and you will sink, and you will continue to go down until you are rescued. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord does in our lives. Hallelujah. It says, he said to them, where is your faith? And they were fearful and amazed. Yeah, right? That makes sense, doesn't it? They were like, oh my Lord, this guy just rebuked the storm. I mean, oh my goodness, I don't know, oh Lord God, Jesus, hallelujah, right? You know, what do? You fall down, you say, thank you, Lord. And they said, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? Oh, saints of God, oh, you and I, we are in the hands of God, and he can rebuke the wind and the rain in your life. And he can cause the winds to be calm and everything to go back in its rightful place so that you can, listen, I wouldn't leave Jesus after that, would you? Oh, no. Oh, no. I'd be like, okay, Lord, done. Where are we going? Where are we going next? Hallelujah. And that's why the disciples' faith continually increased, because God was doing these miraculous things all around them that demonstrated the power of God. And God is still doing the same thing today. He's doing the same thing for his people today. If you're paying attention, you will see God is doing miraculous things in your life that will give you the ability to trust him all the more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Psalm 65, 6 and 7 says, who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might? Who stills the roaring of the seas the roaring of their waves and the tumult of the peoples. Oh, it's the Lord. It is the Lord your God. Hey, Job 38, 10 and 11, he says, I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors, which means it can't break through those boundaries. It can't, nothing's coming in, nothing's going out. God has established himself a barrier, a boundary. And it says, thus far you shall come, but no further. You can come right up to the edge, but you're not going any further than that. Here you shall, your proud waves shall stop. Hallelujah. Oh, God wants to stop your proud waves from overwhelming your life. You and I, we need to humble ourselves. Don't let your pride get you. Don't let your pride hold you back. Let your pride be held back behind the bolt and doors so that God can manifest himself powerfully in your life. Allow God to keep you on that string. You and I, we need to stay on the string so that the Spirit of God can do great things in your life. Do you want to be a yo-yo of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Do you want to be a yo-yo? Come on, the Lord says, come back to me. Hallelujah. Just come back to me. Woo, hallelujah. Just come back. Just come back. Just come back to me. God says, keep coming back. And we keep coming back to the Lord. God will make a way. He will open doors that no one will shut. God can bring chaos into order and give you a brand new start. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Come on. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You see the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Rob you of your joy. Hallelujah. Don't let the world convince you that life in Christ is somehow limiting you or keeping you from experiencing your greatest potential, achieving greatness and longevity in life. But it's the world who's robbing you. It's the Spirit of God who gives us life. And when Christ comes into your life, you can be changed. You can be changed into the image of God. And when the Spirit of the Lord is written in the midst of his life, God can do a new thing in the midst of you. God is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. Allow God to do a new thing in your life. Hallelujah. Allow him to bring out your very best. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of what God has designed you to achieve and to become. But allow God to be glorified. Allow him to be magnified. Let him expand in your life so that the glory of the Lord can prevail and you can be mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, overcoming every obstacle and every challenge that the enemy brings your way. You can be victorious and God will use you to go into the world to bring life to others that you might be a life giver in the lives of the people all around you. Let the Lord do a new thing. God is able to bring your chaos into order and allow a new thing to be done in you. All that the Father has given me, Jesus said, I have lost none. Do you belong to him today? Then the promises are yours. Walk in them. and allow the Spirit of God to do a new thing in your life. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen, amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, oh God, as we go, that you would glorify yourself in our lives. Help us to see the manifestations that you are working about in our lives. Help us, Lord, to overcome all of the obstacles the enemy attempts to hinder us with. Use us, oh God, as your ambassadors, that we would be able to be the witnesses you've called us to be, that the power of your Spirit would be at work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. May the Lord be with you as you go around the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'll sing you the night. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you. So.